DW Deutsche Welle. Pulse.
Hello and a warm welcome to this jam-packed edition of Pulse. I'm Eunice Onjiro in Bonn, Germany. In today's program, a choir in Cologne brings together people of different backgrounds. And you'll hear from a young model who's challenging the idea of what it means to look Korean.
어려운 점은 일단은 잘 한국말을 못하는 줄 알고.
It's understandable that people think I'm a foreigner or talk to me in English when they first meet me. I know I seem really different from Koreans until I start talking.
To find out all that and more, stay tuned to Pulse. Music does connect people, regardless of whether you speak the same language or not. I remember being new in Germany and finding it difficult to fit in. Because of my love for music, I decided to join a choir. This way I had a chance to interact with the Germans and I got to know more about the German culture. Now, a German-Nigerian lady has started a project aimed at bringing together people of different backgrounds living in Germany. Yinka Kehinde's plan is to encourage a culture of tolerance in Cologne, in the state of North Rhine-Westphalia, through song. Fred Mvoni attended one of our choir rehearsals and filed this report, presented to you by Crispin Mwakideu.
It's 7 o'clock in the evening. Dozens of people with different origins are singing to one harmony. Among them is Yinka Kehinde. Kehinde founded this choir as part of her project, Interaction, which has the aim of bridging the gap between Germans and people who live here from around the world.
Interaction is a non-profit association which aims at bringing together people from different backgrounds. We develop and organize and then initiate different projects that have to do with intercultural topics or to bring together people regardless of age, ethnicity, skin color, religious backgrounds.
The choir is called Zusammen singen, a word in German which means singing together. The group rehearses every Monday in Cologne, Germany's fourth largest city. Musical harmonies mix with traditional African drums in the song Malembe Tokatambula. The song title comes from the Congolese Lingala language, which means we are slowly marching on. There's no Congolese national in attendance this evening, but the choir sings the Lingala words with confidence. Kehinde explains that connection and interaction is what it is all about.
It connects us to the countries. It also helps to connect all of us. Because we say, we know, like, now we started maybe with an African song and the next song would be a French song. Then after that we sing another, an Arabic song. So, and with all songs there's a special feeling that comes of that.
The majority of the choir members are migrants and refugees. Rashid Osus came to Germany from Morocco 6 years ago. The team members helped him to integrate, he says.
It was really helpful for me. It was really useful because it was the first opportunity for me in Germany to be with German people, to learn the German words, to learn German cultures, to be with German.
Living in Germany as a foreigner in the first few months can be a struggle in itself, especially if you come from Africa. Understanding the German culture and learning the language needs patience and courage. It also takes time to make German friends, Kehinde says.
If you come to Germany as a foreigner, it's good to find places, like open spaces where you can meet people. For example, that can be in a sports club, it can be a choir, like our choir.
Kehinde's project gets some of its funding from the Robert Bosch Stiftung, a German charitable institution. With the funding, the choir can pay for the music rehearsal room and the professional choir conductor. Kehinde's dreams go beyond just rehearsals, though. Her choir is organizing a mega concert in July, and later they will hold musical workshops too in order to keep pushing the message of integration and interaction.
That report was compiled by Fred Muvunyi. Now, when you think of countries with ethnic diversity, South Korea might not come to mind. A decade ago, textbooks there praised the people's pure blood, and some took pride in this apparent racial homogeneity. But immigration is changing that notion, and by 2020, around 300,000 Koreans will claim multicultural heritage. One of them is a teenager and model named Han Hyo Min. And he's challenging the idea of what it means to look Korean, both on the catwalk and beyond. Jason Strother has his story from Seoul.
At age 16, Han Hyo Min is already a veteran of the catwalk. During one show at the recent Seoul Fashion Week, his third since he started modeling 2 years ago, Han confidently walked down the runway wearing patched jeans and a puffy vest. He faced the row of photographers before pivoting back around. People in the fashion industry here say Han has a different look that's helped him get work. He's tall and thin, but his appearance sometimes alienates him. He tells me that backstage, some Korean models don't talk to him because they assume he doesn't speak their language.
It's understandable that people think I'm a foreigner or talk to me in English when they first meet me. I know I seem really different from Koreans until I start talking.
Han is his country's first black Korean model, and he only speaks Korean. I met him during a photo shoot at a small studio in Seoul. He's the son of a Nigerian immigrant and a Korean mother, but he says he doesn't know much about Africa and has no contact with family there. But even though Han is culturally Korean, that didn't stop kids from teasing him about his looks, he says.
They said things like, "You have a Korean mother, so why are you black?" I felt they were really disgusted by me.
Han doesn't dwell on those memories and writes off the bullying as just kids being kids. He acknowledges, though, that life in South Korea for biracial people like him has not been easy. There's a stigma attached to being biracial here because in the past, many of these children were the offspring of U.S. soldiers and Korean prostitutes. Thousands were sent overseas for adoption, and advocates say those who stayed in South Korea faced severe discrimination at school and in the job market. Michael Hurt, who is the son of an African-American veteran and Korean mother, lectures in cultural studies at a university in Seoul. He says Korean children with a black parent were treated much worse than those with a white parent.
Basically, if you had a black parent, you're generally lower on the totem pole because you have darker skin. In Korean culture, dark skin, association with workers, right, lower classes.
Hurt says model Han Hyo Min is not the first black Korean to achieve celebrity. He points to the singer In Soon-hee, who has been popular for decades here, but that hasn't led to widespread acceptance of biracial Koreans.
I'm glad for this kid. I'm glad there's this kind of room for people like this to be out there. But at the same time, doesn't mean people necessarily change their views of race or their hierarchies that takes place in people's heads.
Modeling presents its own challenges for Han Hyo Min. His makeup artist tells me that it's impossible to buy cosmetics for him in South Korea because most models want to look more white. And his agent says designers want biracial models, but not ones that look like him. Han doesn't seem bothered, though. He's convinced that biracial Koreans are becoming more accepted, and he feels grateful for the support he receives on social media from fans here and abroad.
네, 되게 많이 보내주셔요.
Yeah, I get lots of messages. Some people tell me that I look awesome. I have some Nigerian fans too, and they say they're so proud of me because I'm half Nigerian.
I ask Han if he's a role model for biracial Koreans. He says that is still a long way off, so I ask him about a more immediate concern.
Do you have a girlfriend these days?
No, I don't have one.
How is that possible?
I'm not that popular. I don't think I look so handsome, and I don't think girls are really into me.
You're being modest.
Han says for now, he just wants to focus on his modeling career and looks forward to getting back on the runway. For DW, I'm Jason Strother in Seoul.
Ahead of next month's G20 summit, German Chancellor Angela Merkel met with a number of African leaders. The main topics she raised were reducing poverty and conflict in Africa. The African leaders met up in Berlin to discuss the so-called Compact with Africa. The initiative seeks to team up African nations which have committed to economic reforms with private investors who would then create jobs and businesses. Wanjiku Maura has been monitoring the reactions and conversations about this initiative on social media. She now joins me in the studio. Now, Wanjiku, to begin with, which African countries are involved in this compact?
Well, we have countries like Guinea, Egypt, Ivory Coast, Mali, Ghana, Tunisia, Rwanda, and many more. So over 7 countries were represented in this meeting. And to note, actually, is that it's countries from all parts of Africa. So the meeting encompassed countries that represented all corners of the African continent.
And Berlin is seeking to alleviate poverty, particularly in these African countries you're talking about, whose citizens have been among the hundreds of thousands of people who have arrived in Germany as asylum seekers over the past 2 years, as you know. Will this really help to curb the rising number of African migrants?
This is quite an interesting discussion, not just on social media, but also on people on the streets. But just to recollect, some of the countries, for example, like Rwanda that I mentioned, has not been in the limelight for having migrants coming to Europe in the numbers, for example, countries like Mali have seen. And so this means that migration is not being tackled only from the countries that have been mentioned in this European migration crisis, but also their neighbors, to ensure that the neighboring countries have strong development processes and economically strong, then this might help in reducing the numbers. But just to read comments from social media, Aliyu Muhammad from Nigeria says, the Merkel decision to meet African leaders regarding the issue of migration influx is a really welcome development. African leaders should try as much as possible to provide jobs to their youth. Now, Aliyu is pointing a very key issue, that is job creation in African countries.
I can also see a comment here from Samuel Yeboah. He's saying, well, that is a very good initiative, provided the various African countries involved will not misappropriate the funds. Often poverty alleviation programs in Africa don't reach the very poor people. They are intended to help out of poverty. Now, Wanjiku, what is this G20 Africa partnership really?
What Germany and generally the G20 countries want to do with Africa is to improve the conditions for sustainable private sector investment. So this is investment in infrastructure, economic participation, and therefore creating jobs in African countries. And it's something that has been lauded by African presidents themselves that were present in this meeting with German Chancellor Angela Merkel. But it's also a move that some people feel is not maybe adequate enough. A comment from Biko Azihemba says, I don't think it's adequate. People will still want to come to Germany. And I think, Eunice, you might maybe have experienced this. Some young people just want to travel. They're not interested necessarily in coming to Europe to stay forever. So they just want to see what's life like in Europe. And just with some measures between these two continents, which make it harder for Africans to visit as tourists, then some people think, oh, it's paradise in Europe, and they want to jump onto the next opportunity to come. But maybe if borders were open and they were able to come legally, you know, pay flights, come to Europe, visit, see what's going on, maybe they will think, okay, we need to task our governments to give us better services, to give us better public delivery. Who knows? Maybe this is another channel that they should also be thinking about. So not just creating jobs, but also allowing young people to travel, interact with their European counterparts and exchange ideas on how they themselves can make African countries better.
Oh, yes, that would really help. Now, what about insecurity and terrorism in these countries? What did Chancellor Angela Merkel have to say about this?
I will just take a quote that she said. For many years, we felt good when we didn't focus on military equipment, but we have to be honest. Only where security is ensured can development take place. And she was talking during the G20, opening of the G20 conference on Africa in Berlin. Now, this is something that has come under criticism because some people in different sectors and experts say that this is just another chance for Germany in particular to be sending their weapons to African countries. And they're asking, is this really the way to go by sending more weapons to these African countries? Of course, they're saying it's to ensure security and to curb terrorism, which is a very noble cause. But how do they then ensure that this equipment, these weapons will not fall into the wrong hands? And are we creating a situation where in maybe 2 years, 5 years, we'll see a humongous number of Africans fleeing war in their countries to come to Europe? What will be the end of providing more weapons to African countries?
Well, Wanjiku, do we have positive comments coming from our listeners in Africa, in the African continent?
Absolutely. Kusi Emmanuel says, I think it's a good move and it will help our brothers stay home and work to invest and build our nation than to always travel abroad for greener pastures. And we also have Ghanaians reacting to, of course, we know that several countries were given this planned investment of up to 300 million euros, and among which Tunisia, Ivory Coast, and Ghana were the first countries to receive this. And so Ghanaians on Twitter went on with a trending hashtag, Compact with Africa. Yofi Grant says, Ghana, even as a late entrant, has received 100 million euros from Germany under the Compact with Africa. Ghana on the go, we are in a hurry. Of course, they had successful elections just recently, and the president seems to be making very good progress.
Well, let's hope that this Compact with Africa will really help the African continent. Wanjiku, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Eunice, for having me.
And remember, the G20 summit will take place in Hamburg on July 7th and 8th. We've now come to the end of this edition of Pulse. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook by visiting DW Africa and make sure you leave your comments there. Many thanks to Wanjiku Shooter, our technician Gead Giorgi, and thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for another edition of Pulse. On behalf of the entire team, I'm Eunice Wanjiru, wishing you a great week ahead.